Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang, the Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times, and she joins us every week with an update and analysis of the latest from the territory. Claire, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rachel. It's good to talk to you again.
Great to have you back. So the Singapore-Hong Kong travel bubble will start next month. And ahead of that, the Hong Kong government is drafting a law that will make COVID-19 tests mandatory for certain people. What's that about?
Well, in anticipation of the fourth wave, right, to further curb infections as the social distancing rules have been relaxed, the government program will then focus on individuals showing symptoms, mild symptoms, you know, those involved in minor outbreaks and those in high-risk situations. So basically, they have identified the high-risk groups. And that, according to Chief Executive Carrie Lam, she also announced the launch of a voluntary COVID-19 tracking app for Hong Kong that will be available within the week. Basically, she's targeting restaurant and fitness center operators, taxi drivers. These are all in the high-risk groups, right? Which, and I think it's actually taxi drivers and a lot of some of the frontline staff in management buildings and things like that. They have been given tests, free tests. So these, this same group, okay, and now they're also including restaurant and fitness center operators, will then be able to download the app so that the Center for Health Protection can better trace sources of infections within the community. Now, let me just talk about mandatory programs so far avoided in Hong Kong. And you'll remember that previously, I think in September, we had mass testing, right? Free mass testing. They were trying to encourage people to go. They did not make it mandatory. Why? Because we have strong privacy laws here. And then there's a group of people who have this thinking that if we go to these test centers, the chances of me getting COVID are higher. So that's why, you know, they have refrained, the government here has refrained from rolling out mandatory programs.
And they're also going to relax more social distancing measures, aren't they, Claire, after taking into account the latest public health risk assessment and the economic situation. But weren't experts warning of a fourth wave earlier on?
Well, at least one person, you know, University of Hong Kong microbiologist Yuan Kuo-yong, is championing mandatory tests for people with mild symptoms. He explained that people basically are, you know, less inclined to be tested during periods when, you know, the situation has sort of stabilized. And he said that there are cases that are, you know, definitely will be undetected. So he's proposing that the tests should be made compulsory for patients with mild symptoms, and that if nothing is done, right, you know, it could be July all over again. So in July, you know, remember spiked, we had like over 100 every day, you know, that kind of thing. So from what I understand, there's been a lot of lobbying behind this. You know, obvious feedback from various sectors is that they can no longer deal with the restrictions, the social distancing measures, you know, so which have seriously impaired their ability to do business. So I think that's why they're relaxing more of the measures, you know.
And the Secretary for Food and Health has mentioned that the government has adopted a targeted approach for reducing the risk of the virus spreading within the community as far as practicable. How will this work?
So the rules will be relaxed from Friday for 7 days until November 5. Now, dining in services extended from midnight to 2 a.m., you know, and then they've raised the cap per table. Patrons can, now it's up to six patrons per table instead of four. And then number of patrons per table for bars and pubs also raised from two to four. And for nightclubs as well. So members of public need only to remove their masks when they're consuming drinks or food at the table. So they can remove their mask when they're at the table, but then the minute they move away from the table, they have to put on masks. Okay, and I think some of the rules also they relaxed would be mask wearing in indoor sports halls, skating rinks. It's not mandatory. There's still a cap on the operating capacity at eateries, bars, pubs, entertainment venues, theme parks, but that's been raised from 50% to 75%, and beaches are to reopen. But public gatherings are still capped at 4. So I think if you look at it, what the government is trying to do is they're trying to see what they can relax, and they do it to the maximum possible extent, you know, because businesses are suffering, and so they're trying to weigh, you know, balance, strike a balance, basically, between safety, public safety and business.
We're speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent at The Straits Times. Now, Claire, Chief Executive Carrie Lam has also announced that residents returning from mainland China will be exempted from mandatory 14-day quarantine starting next month. What's the reason behind this?
Well, the situation in the mainland is under control and it's stable, and that's the reason given. I think the Hong Kong government is studying at this moment, and they're studying this option at this moment, and there will be a limit on the numbers because there are only two border checkpoints operating now. That's the Shenzhen Bay and the Hong Kong-Zhuhai-Macau Bridge. So Hong Kongers returning to the city will be able to skip the mandatory quarantine when they come back. Those who are exempted, though, from quarantine have to provide a negative result from a throat swab test or PCR test to show that they are not infected.
Now, she also said that she and five senior ministers will travel to Beijing next week and due to visit Guangzhou and Shenzhen. What will the discussions be about? Prospect of material policy gains for the city?
Well, no details were provided, but she will discuss with the central government her proposals to stimulate the local economy. Now, Hong Kong is in recession. Things aren't looking good. And this is particularly so with the massive job cuts at Cathay Pacific. It has created spillover effects, okay? What I mean by that, you have pilots giving up, or ex-pilots giving up their luxury rentals. People are ending leases. And they're all now trying to look for other jobs.
And speaking of Cathay Pacific, Claire, there seems to be a threat of some sort of action by the union.
That's right, Rachel. The Cathay Pacific Flight Attendants Union had earlier warned that they may escalate actions if the airline's management fails to address their concerns and fails to postpone a deadline for remaining staff to sign a new contract. The warning came after the union held an emergency meeting on Monday, and you had, I think, 360 members attending that. But then yesterday, the union called on the airline to push back its deadlines for staff to sign new contracts, and the government has said that it would arrange a meeting between the two sides as soon as possible to resolve the dispute. So the flagship carrier, right, has offered employees who signed the new contract before midnight on Wednesday a financial incentive of several thousand dollars. Cathay Pacific has described this as a transition allowance. Those who choose not to do so would have until next Wednesday to sign the contracts, or they would be terminated. So the gripe here is that the union is saying that the staff do not have sufficient time to think through, and they're rushed to make decisions.
Tough times, Claire. Now, finally, we continue to see developments linked to the national security law, and you've got the Hong Kong University saga and four activists trying to seek asylum at the U.S. consulate. What's the latest, Claire?
Well, let's start with four activists. They're linked to the pro-independent student localism, which disbanded here in Hong Kong but still operates overseas. Hours before the four went to the U.S. consulate to seek asylum, their former leader, Tony Chong, was arrested. That's the second time he was arrested. The four were obviously turned away, and the group advocates independence. So this is quite a straightforward offense under the security law. Police have charged Chong with secession, money laundering conspiracy to publish seditious material. And separately, over at the Hong Kong University, or HKU, right, it has proposed removing the elected members of committees tasked with selecting faculty deans. Now, the proposal was on the agenda of Tuesday's University Council, Governing Council meeting. And the members endorsed the appointment of two new vice presidents, despite concerns raised by staff, students, alumni, over the Tsinghua University professor's background and connections. So why are we having this saga? Because media reports pointed out that one of the professors mentioned had until recently been listed as a member of the Communist Party committee at Tsinghua University's industrial engineering department. Now, he's denied this. He's saying that the website master, the webmaster, made errors. And but then the point that the Hong Kong U students and staff are saying is that the move would send a signal that the Communist Party would be taking charge of high-level decisions at the university. This would infringe on academic freedom, and it would be hard to attract top teaching staff and students.
Well, Claire, thank you so much for all of your updates this week.
Thank you, Rachel. Have a good week ahead.
Likewise, we've been speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent at The Straits Times, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.